It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, welcome to Nothing Impossible. Here are your hosts, Michael Calhoun and Travis Sheridan on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome in, Michael and Travis with you out in the city for this edition of Nothing Impossible.
Yeah, listen to that sound. It sounds so nice being in a city. You know what else we're going to hear sounds of? Sounds of innovation.
And sounds of construction, too, because we're going to take a look inside two of the most highly anticipated projects in the St. Louis area. We're talking about the Foundry and the Armory.
Right. One is on, the north side of 44, or 40, and one is on the south side of 40, and they're both going to be under construction, or actually actively under construction now, and opening in the next couple of years.
Very innovative. Do we use that word too much? Innovative spaces. The Armory is, that incredible building that has been home to sports over the years, in addition to originally being an armory. And then you've got the City Foundry across the street, an old, rusted-over factory with graffiti and weeds, and neither of these buildings are going to look like they do now when they're completed.
But both of them are going to maintain their bones a bit. I mean, they're both going to have, they're going to honor the past by being prepared for the future.
Yeah, so let's go inside. Let's go to the Armory first and check that out.
Yeah, and then we'll hop on over to the Foundry. We'll have a good time. Join us.
We'll be right back on Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Now, back to Nothing Impossible on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back. Nothing Impossible on KMOX on location in Midtown St. Louis. Michael Calhoun.
And Travis Sheridan. You hear some freeway noise in the background. We're standing outside the Armory. It's beautiful out here.
Let's talk about what's next for the Armory.
Yeah, let's do that.
With Megan Ridgway, who's a principal at Arcturus Architecture Firm based in downtown St. Louis, and Philip Holes, who's managing partner at Green Street St. Louis. Thank you both for joining us and bringing us out here to see this amazing building.
Our pleasure. Today is a great moment to kind of share with you our vision and to kind of explain what we see happening next. We obviously have a lot of interest in connecting to Cortex, the universities. This is a unique structure that allows us to become a part of this really rich community that's really driving a lot of our economy. The growth that has occurred in Cortex has been amazing, over 4,000 jobs. And that's expanding at a rapid clip. We're also at a Metrolink station, so we can connect to that innovation district and to the medical complex. So we will provide a unique opportunity for users to be in a truly historic building that gets reconnected not only by light rail, but also a trail system that GRG is going to be instrumental in connecting us with City Foundry, with Cortex, with Forest Park, and the Arch. That's the vision that we have here, and there will be a mix of uses beyond the Armory, so it'll have a broader platform. Scale is important. What's happening with City Foundry is important, that we link up with them and have connectivity, because they'll have a retail component, food court, that I think will be dynamic and innovative, and they will complement what we will do both on a residential and office side as well. So, and we see ourselves linking the medical campus to the main campus at St. Louis U, so that pedestrian bridge will accomplish that and bring people here that aren't here now to really create a new energy.
What's the history? You mentioned it, but what is the history of this building? Just the tennis stars who played inside of here.
Well, it was built in 1938 for the 138th Infantry Division that is now based in Jeff City. But in that same time frame from the late 40s, even when it was operated as an armory, it was also the largest indoor tennis facility in the Midwest. And it was home to great names like Arthur Ashe, who really got his base built here in terms of learning tennis and lived here in St. Louis and grew to became, an icon in the tennis world. Was a Wimbledon champion. Jimmy Connors, Butch Buchholz, Robert Flack. a whole host of people have this strong memory in their mind. And this was a unique facility because it was hardwood surface, so when the ball hit, it accelerated. So it taught a lot of these individuals how to return the ball in a more dynamic way, quicker way, that created a uniqueness. But there's not just those stars, but a lot of St. Louisans played tennis here. And so after that, it was also a concert venue for people like the Grateful Dead in the 60s, Ike and Tina Turner, James Brown, Moby Grape. So a lot of good things. And then a kind of a sports facility for soccer, baseball, golf. So a lot of people in and out of this building, and it's important in our mind to preserve some of that history, but also take it to the next generation of collaborative office space that's tech-enabled and very open. We'll have a roof deck, which will be unique on most buildings that you would go and call your home. And so we also want to bring other commercial enterprises. A microbrew is in our radar to bring here too, that activates and creates a common meeting place. So we did Urban Chestnut as a good example on how that's been a catalyst for other things in the Grove.
When was the last time this building was used for anything? Before the boards went up and some of the windows became broken and it took on its current state?
You know, it probably lingered on, you know, till the late 90s, and then steadily went downhill. So it's been pretty much shuttered. I mean, there has been some storage here, but really as a public space, it's been a decade or more, you know, that's kind of been quietly sitting here waiting for somebody to show up to figure out how to reposition it.
Well, I like the tennis analogy that, you know, the ball returns in a dynamic way, right? So Arcturus is known as doing things that taking adaptive reuse and returning old buildings in a dynamic way. What excites you most about a project like this?
Well, the Armory is pretty incredible because, Michael, as you mentioned, people drive by it and have been driving by it for years and just seeing it shuttered. And so, you know, there's a few keys here that just get my passion going in terms of the revitalization of not only an iconic piece of architecture and historic architecture, but also St. Louis. And that is that, Phil, as you mentioned, there, you know, we feel a great responsibility to the preservation of the Armory and this this amazing historic architecture, but also to making sure we can catapult the vision for innovation and the redevelopment of the building into the future so that we are attracting those creative office users, those innovative companies who are looking to attract and retain the next generation of the workplace. So it's an interesting dichotomy between preservation and innovation and then just the connectivity. So the process that we need to go through from a design standpoint to marry preservation and innovation is pretty incredible, because this, while it's a project in and of itself, we always have to be thinking about how is this piece of architecture connecting back to the adjacent development, such as the Foundry, of the Cortex, of SSM's new replacement hospital, of SLU's main campus. And so we're really looking towards the development of the Armory District, which is much broader than just the Armory itself, and the adjacent land use as well as adjacent buildings, and how we can re-envision that design holistically and not myopically in terms of one intervention.
Well, one of the most myopic questions everybody always asks is how soon, right? Because once a project is announced, they want to know when can we get into it. So what is the timing on a project like this?
So we really anticipate, I'm speaking a little bit for Phil here, but we really anticipate that we'll have users in this building by early 19. And so while it may be you know, looking shuttered for a little bit longer, we do anticipate some construction movement and demolition starting later this year. And so I think that'll be a really exciting time as you drive down Highway 40 and can watch the progress.
Phil, tell us about this area. And I think a lot of people might be familiar with it as this quasi-industrial kind of area, the train tracks over here. But that's changing. We talk about the Metrolink station nearby, what's happening with City Foundry, the redevelopment of another industrial site. What's changing about this area, and what's going to be different for someone who hasn't checked this part of town out in 10 years from now? What's it going to be like?
Well, I think it'll be a place where lots of people want to come, touch, feel, and experience. It'll be a place that companies want to call their home, to be a part of this really transformational piece that's happening in St. Louis. Innovation, universities, medical research, plant science, all those things are converging. And even if you're not in that realm, you want to be a part of it because it has its own dynamic energy. It's got a fast growth. It's kind of replacing our old corporate anchors that we had here over the years that have kind of, you know, waned a little bit. So the whole platform of where our economy is going, it's more service driven, it's more technology driven, and you want to integrate that in a way that creates jobs. And the universities have figured out that bringing that innovation district to this core amongst the university creates great opportunity for growth, investment, and it'll be a hub for restaurants, live, work, play environment. So what you're going to see is an area that seems dead now that will become full of life. You know, we took the old Renard Paper Building. It was kind of nondescript. Now it's urban chestnut, and it becomes a gathering place for hundreds of people in the evening and on weekends. And once you provide the connector of this trail system that links us all together, you'll see an added reason for people to come, touch, feel, and activate. If you've been to New York, the High Line, or Beltline in Atlanta, or 606 in Chicago, these linkages are key to bringing people together, bringing ideas, and creating innovation. And we got a great platform to execute with that here.
And I might just expand on that a little bit. So the trail system that Phil is mentioning, Great Rivers Greenway here in town is championing a effort to connect Forest Park with the city Arch River efforts at the Arch. And basically providing a framework for a pedestrian way, a bike way that would connect those two iconic elements of our city with a lot of stops along the way. And the Armory is weaved into that. So going back to that connectivity, I think that'll be an amazing piece of infrastructure that will allow this development as well as a lot of the development here in Midtown to succeed, because it provides direct linkages back to the MetroLink, to the bus system. And you know, as St. Louis is my adopted hometown, and so to see this investment and this vision start to come to life in terms of what St. Louis can really be, I think is really exciting.
We're standing here in the shadow of this beautiful building. What do you say we go inside, Travis?
I think it's a good day to do a tour inside the Armory to get a vision of what is to become of this great place.
Let's do it. We'll be back from inside the Armory up next on Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Mornings and afternoons, KMOX has news at the top and bottom of the hour, traffic and weather every 10 minutes, and sports at 15 and 45 on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back, Nothing Impossible. Inside now of the old Armory, just off 64 in downtown, just near downtown St. Louis in Midtown.
There's a great echo in here. Like, it's not a distracting echo, it's a voluminous, like, substantial building echo.
Well, it's a voluminous, substantial building. What would you say the aesthetic in here? Because we still have, are we in the guest or the home side of the sidelines right now, by the way, underneath the reviewing stand here?
Well, another favorite memory of mine of being in an Armory is this. That's where I took 6 weeks of wrestling as a fourth grader. And after I got dropped on my head a number of times, I quit wrestling. But it was always at an Armory, and it looked just like this. It was a big open building that it looks like something from the old movie Hoosiers, right? You would imagine, a college basketball game going on in here. It is beautiful and it's massive. I don't necessarily need to talk about budget, but however you're going to finance this, there's a gold mine in these bleacher chairs all around. Take them down, take them up to like a flea market in Brooklyn. You're getting like $10,000 a row for these things. I mean, that could be your financing package. It's right there. It's amazing to see, all of just, like you said, a snapshot in time. All of this was just here. And there's a great market, secondary market for, vintage bleacher chairs.
Well, you know, I think you're onto something here. We always need more equity, and the chairs are it. It is a big project, and the good thing about this is that we've got enough interest from dynamic users that we feel inside of our inner soul here that we're on the path. And having been to the groundbreaking at Cortex yesterday, kind of reinvigorate that. And this connectivity is a big part of that. Here we have a building that will allow us to do some special things that aren't found in normal buildings. We'll have a roof deck that allows the tenants and visitors to really experience the full gamut of what this building feels like. And it adds to the, you know, dynamics of being here. Collaboration is a big part of what we're going to create here, and innovation. So that means we got to have people feel excited and enriched when they walk in that door. So we'll do a lot to respect the history. You know, we'll have potentially the Tennis Hall of Fame here, you know, as a memorial to that. We certainly want to recognize the music and the sports and the military experience. So part of it is we'll have probably an interactive display that shows you the history that takes you back in time that you can share with your clients and customers and visitors. So, and we're fortunate to have Arcturus really help create the vision and the platform and the look of this. They were instrumental in what's going on in Cortex and helping that be a success. So I think we're fortunate. We've got 80,000 square foot floor plates that will give us an opportunity to really bring lots of people together.
You know, one of the things I can speak to with Arcturus and our 40-year history, we've really focused on innovative workplace. And what is such a buzz right now is the workplace of choice and being able to select what kind of space you want to work in based on the tasks that are set forth for you for the day. And that rooftop deck that you mentioned, Phil, is an incredible asset because there's about an acre of rooftop in this building that exists. And so we envision that as being a place of hardscape, landscape, meeting space, individual workspace, recreation space that can contribute to wellness. And there are things that our clients are seeking and looking for now, and it's all baked into this building already, just with a little, you know, elbow grease and dusting off.
It would be amazing, I don't know if it's part of the plan, but to have a rooftop track, you know, running track out there. I mean, as I look at the renderings, of course, it's on a perfect blue sky, which we actually, you could have taken that picture today because it looks like that right now. But just the ability, I think about these big city amenities, and one of the things I love about St. Louis is I always say it has small town ease with big city amenities, and a rooftop deck, an acre of rooftop, really is that big city amenity that we have a number of people that are moving back from the coasts or returning to their roots, and we like to show off things like this because it's what they're familiar with if they're living in San Francisco or New York or something like that.
Phil, in years past, if a company was looking to expand or looking for space, they might look in the traditional office park or build a new building in a green field. What has been the attraction lately for coming back to beautiful places like this that have been neglected? And instead of building anew, renewing places like this?
Well, I think it allows you to create a unique look and feel. You're taking architecture from a period of time that was rich. I mean, you walk around this building and the element of detail, the structure of the steel girders that support this roof, those are elements that you don't see in a normal building. And I think what we're trying to do is use the energy of this building within the workspace. And I think part of that is that these are gems that are kind of, like Megan said, need to be dusted off and polished and really brought back to life through good thinking of taking a building and making its impact to the environment what drives you. Because if you create a space that feels good to your spirit, natural light, has good air quality, really respects your surroundings, good things, you feel that energy when you walk into the building. And we've done it on a number of occasions. Most of our buildings are LEED certified. We've done some at the platinum level, and it's a showcase. It also kind of raises the wellness that people aren't as sick, you know, as often, because you got air quality and a sensitivity to the workspace. That's where you spend a lot of your time. But more importantly, that it has a really good spirit about it. And this building will have a tremendous spirit about it.
When we think of just demand, I was recently in Saudi Arabia, and they are building buildings. Their financial district is almost all brand new in Riyadh, and it's 25% occupied, and it's because they have a lot of money from petroleum, and they want to put that into something that's not petroleum, and so they build buildings. What is the demand like? I know that we're not in a situation like that here, but what's the demand like in the St. Louis region? I mean, we're seeing new buildings going up in Cortex. We're seeing, the AT&T tower getting ready to be vacated, so there's going to be some available inventory there. What's the prognosis for long-term commercial real estate here in the St. Louis region?
Well, I think for this central corridor, it's rich with opportunity. It's got all the right players. What needs to happen is really creating not the same kind of space that the office market has currently that you would go out and look at. You need to create something that engages, that is unique, that is experiential. The rebirth of the Grove, Tower Grove, Grand Avenue, all those, Lafayette Square, Benton Park, all those have a vibe of people getting out and connecting. And so you have to have a bigger spirit than just the building. You have to have connectivity. You have to have activities. You can walk. You can ride your bike. You can hop on the Metrolink. Those are all things that kind of bring a true experience front to back. And I think the millennials, which are driving a lot of this, that's what they're looking for. And we're seeing that in every major city throughout the U.S. It's what's changing the work environment. It's what's changing the developers' look. It's being on these transportation hubs that link you, and then having these trail systems that, allow you to have really a true experience that's different than hopping in your car is important. And then having the dynamics of universities and research going on, it's got its own energy. And having nightlife, there's 370,000 square feet of retail along Manchester in the Grove. So it's got the right vibe. Yeah. That's what will make us different than going downtown, which has its opportunity too, but we've got a little different thing here that we're working off the universities.
Yeah.
Let's go to the roof.
Let's go to the roof. We'll be back from the roof.
Rubble of the arcade. Yeah. It's very cool. Okay. Very cool, Jeff.
All right, so here we are up on the roof, and Megan, you noted you can hear the highway noise. It's pretty loud up here, at least on this side of the building, but that might give a little bit of a differing spaces on the roof, louder versus quieter on the other side.
Absolutely. So as we stand here on the north side of the roof deck, as you mentioned, you can hear the highway noise. When I mentioned to people that Arcturus is working on this project, a lot of comments that I hear back are, oh, that building is so close to the highway. And it is, but I feel like the proximity of the highway, just the nestling of the Armory in what has now become this very industrial area, is really interesting. I don't look at it as a negative at all. In fact, I think it's quite positive because it highlights and makes obvious how intertwined this building is to the urban fabric and the character of St. Louis. And so I think it's a really interesting moment for the building.
Well, and I think of it as the people that want to live out in the suburbs near a water feature, like a man-made lake or something like that, and they move out there because they want to hear the bullfrogs at night, right? They want to hear the things that are authentic to the environment in which they've decided to live, work, play, what have you. And, I've lived in urban districts for quite a while. I love being near railroad tracks, like, because whenever the train does come by, I feel like there's industry happening right behind me. There's something, goods are moving from A to B. So I would agree. The sound that comes off of the freeway here just means that you're here. This is where you're supposed to be.
Can you draw us a picture of what this, because right now it's very roof-like with the gravel, and you can hear that up here, but what is the vision for this? How transformed is this space going to be?
Well, this will again strike that balance between preservation and innovation, but we fully anticipate that this becomes about 50% green space and 50% hard space where you could have a meeting or tables and chairs. And as we mentioned, it's an acre of space. So we're talking about a half acre of green roof and a half acre of occupiable space. And it will, when you look out here I'm looking to the east, you can see the arch. We've talked about in the north, you have the highway. You look to the south and you'll be able to really observe the development of the new hospital for SSM. You are just in the middle of development and it's exciting.
Can you give any hints as to what tenants might be interested, or what, maybe even just what kind of tenants you're looking for?
We've had a number of the Cortex people that are growing that need a bigger platform than they can see in that environment. We've had creative firms, marketing firms, We have the kind of next generation office platform users that want to lease large blocks of space and lease individually to the millennial. They're interested in this space. And then we've got some corporate users that want to come down here, that want to differentiate themselves. So not just the startups or the innovators, but corporate people who want to have presence. This is a great opportunity to have a marketing platform that speaks to your support of city development, but also wants to be in the innovation district. So I think we'll have a good shot of capturing somebody of substantial nature, because it's got the right bones to do that. Somebody will love to put their name and say, this is our home.
Well, thanks so much for taking us on a tour. This is great up here.
This is beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for spending the time with us today. It's great.
Absolutely. Phil Holes from Green Street and Megan Ridgway from Arturus. And we'll be back with more Nothing Impossible after this.
Now, back to Nothing Impossible on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Nothing Impossible. Michael Calhoun on the other side of the highway now, inside of what will soon be the City Foundry District and project here along Forest Park Avenue, and with Steve Smith of the Lawrence Group. Thank you for taking us inside of here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited with everything that's happening in the neighborhood, and happy to share.
Absolutely. So this is next to IKEA. We can see the flags flying at the furniture store right across the way here, and this is the old Federal Mogul factory along Forest Park Avenue. People surely have driven past it and maybe not even given it a second look because of the graffiti and the rust and all of that.
Yeah, so the building was built in the 1920s is the Crescent Electric, and they made electric motors here, and then over the years they put all these different additions on it. So what you see today is an accumulation of almost five different buildings that were built almost over the last 100 years, but most people today probably recognize it as that building with the weeds and the graffiti on it, which is going to change very, very shortly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the renderings are, and I think there's some over here, aren't there, of this district and what it's going to look like. There's not going to be any driving past it and not taking a look when you're finished.
I think when we're done, all 2.8 million people in St. Louis is going to know what we're doing here, because we'll have a great big City Foundry sign. Our entrance is immediately across the street from IKEA. We'll actually share signals, go one way into IKEA, the other way into our development. And so, yeah, I think we'll be pretty well known.
And so tell me a little bit about it's radio, so maybe pull out some adjectives, and what is this factory like on the inside, and what are the plans? I hope people have heard about the food hall, but explain what's in the works for this.
Yeah, so the original building is a 30,000 square foot foundry building, and we've cleared it all out. So you have all this interesting structure, these skylights, and what we call clear stories, so it'll be very much light-filled. And within that, we're going to put 20 food stalls. And those are, in a way, they're almost like the food trucks in a way. So very creative and innovative chefs and food proprietors that about half of them have already committed. And so you'll be able to go into this really grand, interesting old space that's been repurposed. What once made brick drums will now be repurposed as a place to get creative and innovative food ideas.
And innovation is something we hear about constantly in this area. Cortex, I can see the cranes. Things are happening in Cortex. Microsoft's building is going up. But this is interesting, the food hall, and the fact that this is almost startups for restaurants, right?
Yeah, so right now there is so much innovation. There's a tremendous startup community that's happening in St. Louis, and it's happening in downtown and midtown, yet it isn't really something that the public would need to go to. These are primarily businesses and things like that. So what our thought with City Foundry is, let's do stuff where innovation is for the public, and that often happens around food. So our food hall is really, we think of it as innovation around food, but also some of the other retailers and other businesses we're talking to, we're looking for those sort of businesses that are innovative and are creative, and in some cases we hope to have startups and support the overall innovation community that's happening in Midtown.
It seems like City Foundry is going to be the spot to go if you want to check out the innovation scene. You hear about startups and all this stuff going on in St. Louis, but you're right. You know, you're walking into an office if you necessarily go, you know, to check out somebody working on an app or something like that. So is this, are you hoping the kind of the experience of startups in St. Louis?
You know, what happens in a place like Cortex, part of the idea of the innovation community is having people interact almost in spontaneous ways. So the idea of the food hall, which is going to be open seating, so we'll have 20 food stalls, but you'll have a couple hundred seats that are open to where you can meet people and interchange ideas, people with different backgrounds, and that's how innovation occurs. And so this can be a place where the employees at Microsoft, the employees at CIC, employees that'll be over at the Armory will come across and can intermingle and socialize. And that's really part of what the innovation community intends to happen, is to put people together so that magic can happen out of that spontaneous connections.
And as we were on the other side of the highway looking across, we could see this factory here. And from here, I think even out of these windows in this building, you can see the Armory across the way. Is there going to be a synergy between these two projects?
So when I found out that Phil Hulse had bought the Armory, I was thrilled, because Phil does great things and he's going to do something really, really special there. So we've been in communication and trying to coordinate our plans together, because we see us both benefiting from one another. And so in our master plan and our vision would be to create a pedestrian bridge, which we're calling the Innovation Bridge, that would connect our two projects across Highway 4064. It actually would sit between the eastbound and westbound lanes and go in between the two and connect the north side and the south side of the highway.
Would this project, again, IKEA, Cortex, even apartment complexes going up, would this project have been feasible 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
No, it would not have been. I think really I would have to say IKEA really was the trigger event. I mean, Cortex has got a tremendous amount of momentum, but IKEA is retail. And, of course, they're a smart company, one of the biggest retailers in the world. And for them to say this is a good place to put retail suggested to not only us as developers, but also our tenants, that actually this is not a bad place. This is actually a good place to be imagining retail in the future. So without IKEA, we're not here. And they've only been open less than 2 years at this point.
And what are the previous plans for this site involved? What kind of looked like a suburban shopping center, strip mall, and you came in and bought this and said, no, we're going to go for something more urban and more innovative. And why do you think that's a fit for the city of St. Louis? Why is this the spot for something like that? And do you think that's an attitude that developers in this city could look to more, not necessarily doing the big parking lot, strip mall kind of developments and more of what you're doing?
You know, I think the type of the millennial generation wants authenticity and creativity and uniqueness and really experience. I think of it as the Instagram generation, which is all about experience and uniqueness. And so building something that you can see anywhere USA doesn't really feed that whole idea of experience and uniqueness. Taking a foundry building, and the foundry building is 180,000 square feet, and repurposing it, in our case, not just a food hall, but we're going to have retail, office, we think we may have a beer garden, all different kind of uses, creates a really unique Instagrammable sort of experience, as well as good business and I think wonderful amenities for the rapidly growing innovation businesses that are coming into this area.
Now, there has been some concern from areas, you know, Dogtown, Cherokee, some of the neighborhoods, that maybe some of their small corner businesses might leave and move to this project. I'm sure you've heard those concerns. Sure. What do you say to that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that right now we have about 60% of our foundry committed, and not one of them is from Cherokee Street. Not one of them is from the Grove. So we don't want to take business from St. Louis, because that doesn't do the city any good. We really want to create something that's great for St. Louis. The vast majority of our big retail tenants that we have on board right now, I can't mention them yet, are not even in the city of St. Louis today, and several of them are not even in the St. Louis region. And so one of the aspirations we had from the beginning was to bring unique destinations, not retail that you can go to the Galleria or West County or out in Chesterfield, because then there's nothing special here. We're hoping to bring the type of businesses, the retailers, entertainment, food that doesn't exist anywhere except here, and not taking them from other parts of the city while doing it.
Yeah, so we've talked about the food hall, but the shopping is a huge part of this, especially, I mean, as a city resident, if you want to do any amount of shopping, really you have to drive to Brentwood. You have to drive across the county line. Is this project going to change that somewhat?
You know, you bring up a good point. I've spent my entire career working in the city of St. Louis, and as it is today, you cannot buy a suit in the the city limits. To get any kind of fashion, man or woman, you've got to drive to the county. And so we've lost, as a city resident, we've lost our retail tax base to a large degree. So we're hopeful and, quite frankly, expecting that this reestablishes the city of St. Louis as a place that can support not just retail, but progressive hip retail. And part of that will be fashion. But we also have entertainment, we have food hall, restaurant, hard good retail. So it's going to be diverse, much more diverse than you'd see, I think, at a strip center or a suburban shopping mall in terms of the sort of things we're going to be doing here.
And Steve, as we stand here, work's going on. This, you know, what's the timeline from here? You're already underway with this, right?
Yeah, we're well underway. You know, we've owned the building about 2 years. We started the remediation work about almost a year ago. It's been 10 months. They're narrowing in on completing all of the remediation and site preparation work. That'll finish in August. We hope to start major construction right around the beginning of next year, January of next year. So about 6 months from now. It'll take a year to a year and a half to build it. I mean, there'll be different tenants moving in at different times, but we fully anticipate by December of 2018, going into spring of 2019, floods of people are going to be coming to City Foundry.
And just paint the picture of what this is going to be like. We haven't even talked about the elevated rail track, that the hope is that becomes a trail, an elevated trail, and then the factory, and then there are other buildings besides these historic renovations that are planned. And paint the picture of what this City Foundry District is going to be like.
Yeah, so you mentioned the elevated rail line. So I don't know how many of our listeners have been to New York and been on the New York High Line. If you haven't, when you go to New York, you have to go see it. It's the most visited tourist attraction. That's not even tourism. It's the most visited attraction in New York is their High Line, which is an elevated park in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to do a similar thing here in partnership with Great Rivers Greenway. This is part of the Great Rivers Greenway Master Plan, and we're working with them right now to create take the elevated rail spur that exists today, which you can see from Highway 4064, and convert that into an elevated park that then will connect, if you by foot or by bike or any way you'd want to travel, into Cortex, and then on into BJC, and then on into Forest Park by Steinberg Skating Rink. So we create a trail, which is basically going to be a park, a linear park, if you can picture that.
All right, some more information, website people can go to?
So the website would be cityfoundrystl.com, cityfoundrystl.com, and our Instagram page by the same address.
All right, Steve Smith, Lawrence Group, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.